This morning's scripture is the 38th Psalm. O Lord, do not rebuke me with your anger, or discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have sunken into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. They weigh like a burden, too heavy for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my foolishness. I am utterly bowed down and prostrate. All day long I go around mourning, for my loins are filled with burning and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am utterly spent and crushed. I groan because of the tumult in my heart. O Lord, all my longings are known to you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it too has gone from me. My friends and companions stand aloof from my affliction, and my neighbors stand far off. Those who seek my life lay snares. Those who seek to hurt me speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. But I am like the deaf. I do not hear, like the mute who cannot speak. Truly, I am like one who does not hear and whose mouth has no retort. But it is for you, O Lord, that I wait. It is you, O my Lord, who will answer. For I pray, only do not let them rejoice over me, those who boast against me when my foot slips. For I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin. Those who are my foes without cause are mighty, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good are my adversaries. Because I follow after good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. This is an auspicious date for our congregation, not because St. Patrick's Day is this week, hence the great Celtic music, not because we should beware the Ides of March tomorrow, but because we have been worshiping remotely for a full year. Even as some of us are getting vaccinated, before we rush to celebrate the light at the end of a very long tunnel, we need to take stock of what we've been through together as families, as a congregation, as a community, as a nation, as a species. For some of us, the pandemic has brought us in sight of possible death, perhaps for the first time. What if I get it? Will I survive? For others among us who are dealing with serious illnesses already, you may have wondered if it was safe to get ongoing treatments at the cancer center or at the hospital. And for some of us, we're dealing with a double grief of the death of a loved one in the midst of so much death, which is compounded by not being able to mourn in the company of family and friends in a typical memorial service. You may or may not know somebody who has died as a result of the novel coronavirus, but the figures are staggering. Estimates are that one in three Americans knows somebody who has died of COVID. More Americans have died of COVID in 1 year than died in the Second World War, which for us lasted 4 years. Novel coronavirus deaths in America have exceeded 9/11 deaths by 127 times. About one in 624 Americans has died as a result of the virus. And we know that people of color have died in even greater numbers. 225 people have died of COVID here in Larimer County. And to put that in perspective, if they were sitting out in the sanctuary today, they would be overflowing from the sanctuary here at Plymouth into the fellowship hall. The global numbers are even harder to imagine. 2.6 million people have died. I don't even know how to put that into perspective. All of us grieve in different ways. Culture and nationality have something to do with it. And the current administration has actually tried to put grieving into the national spotlight on February 22nd with lighted candles outside the White House to remember those we've lost. I think that we as a society will need to come to grips with the collective trauma we've experienced. I don't know if you've heard the verb to keen, but keening is a wailing lament for the dead. The word comes from the Irish Gaelic and from a culture that knows how to weep and how to mourn more expressively and more openly than most Anglo-Saxon or Germanic cultures do. I mean, when was the last time you heard about a ripping great wake for a white Congregationalist or Episcopalian? Doesn't happen, at least very often. At my father's memorial service in 1986, my younger brother, who had been unable to shed a tear at the time of my dad's death, wept with abandon. It was deep, true, and healing. And my mother told him to pull himself together. I've learned a thing or two about grief since then. And I often tell families coming to a memorial service that this is a place that welcomes your tears. And I say that to you today. This is a place that welcomes your tears. One of the things the church does right is to acknowledge and to provide a setting, a container for grief and mourning. We have ritual moments for saying a final goodbye and for sending off our loved ones. We have prayers committing their souls to God's care. This is critically important spiritually and emotionally. If we don't acknowledge our grief and have a way to work through it, it will fester. The wound will become deeper and not lessen. The Psalms provide so many examples of lament for us, with the broadest sweep of emotion, from anger to dejection to bitterness to sorrow to regret. Have you been through the loss of a loved one? Most of us have. See if this sounds something like what you experienced at some point in the process of grief. But I am like the deaf who do not hear, like the mute who cannot speak. Truly, I am like one who does not hear and whose mouth offers no retort. The numbness of grief is a very common experience. When your emotions are so raw and in overdrive that you just can't take in another thing. We're overwhelmed and sometimes silenced by our grief. I know that feeling, and perhaps you do too. But silence is far from the only way we experience grief. The psalmist demonstrates to us that we can shout out to God for help. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. You've undoubtedly seen those British World War II posters that say, "Keep calm and carry on," as well as many of the takeoffs on t-shirts. And one of my favorites is on the back of a little sugar packet that I picked up in a cafe in Italy. And it says, "Keep calm and prendi un caffè." Keep calm and have a cup of coffee. That's a good example of the ways in which Anglo-Saxon and Italian cultures are very different. But maybe we don't have to keep it all together with God. Maybe God is ready for us to weep and to stamp our feet and to cry out loud. Many of us are really good at keeping a stiff upper lip. But there is a time and a place for lament, acknowledging that this is just a bit too much for us to handle on our own, whatever this happens to be. Lament can involve wailing, weeping, groaning, crying over a grief, whether it's the loss of a loved one, dealing with a serious illness, feeling isolated during a lockdown, not seeing your grandkids or your parents for a year, losing a job, missing the normality of everyday life, any situation that causes you grief. In a few weeks, you will hear in our readings, Jesus quote Psalm 22 from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? If Jesus can lament using the Psalms, then it's okay for us to do that too. Every one of us has encountered something that is too heavy to bear on our own. And the good news is that you don't have to carry it alone. And that doesn't mean taking it out on your family or your colleagues or kicking the dog. The genius of lament in our setting is that it opens dialogue between you and God. Crying out to God in distress is a great way to begin. Psalms of lament are the largest category within this collection, and with good reason. Being human is difficult. It's hard. It is riddled with losses and griefs, not just for a few of us, but for all of us. The psalmist usually circles back in a psalm of lament to include confidence in the ability of God to be present and to turn things around with us. And the most succinct form of that I know is from Psalm 30. Weeping may linger in the night, but joy comes with the morning. Joy comes with the morning. Last week, I was in Santa Fe with two of my UCC Credo clergy colleagues, and we talked at length about the experience that all of us have been through in this pandemic. One commented that for us, all of us who have lived through the pandemic, it will be like our parents' or grandparents' experience of living through the Great Depression and how we remember that across the decades. All of us who were clergy were concerned about the collective trauma that our congregations have experienced, that all of us have experienced. What is it like for you to internalize the number, the catastrophic number of COVID deaths? Every one of us has felt the impact of the pandemic personally and by extension. And I don't think we should discount our own experiences during this time, even if at first glance you think of them as trivial. As we take baby steps at coming back together, as we live into the next year, we'll continue to talk about where you are, how relying on God can help, and ways that we can learn from our pandemic experiences to shape the future. This has been a very long year. I thank you for your patience with the changes in our worship and in the life of our congregation, a life that continues to expand in new ways and in new dimensions. And I thank you for continuing to be a people of faith, in contact with God and with each other. And so I leave you with this prayer. How long, O Lord, how long? How long will this continue? We invite you into this moment in human history. We seek you. We seek your presence to be enfolded in your loving embrace and in your mercy. Help us know that you are with us. Help us to sense your presence intimately every step of the way. And help us to grieve, to mourn, and to celebrate. Help us to walk into the next year with a sense of hope. And help us eventually to find a sense of joy. Amen.